Welcome, everyone, to the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I heard that a lot of people liked the intro music on our last episode, so I thought I would give you a little more of it there. So you're welcome. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and I'll be joined shortly by Kyle Law, our lead recruiter here at JobScan. Our goal with this podcast is to take you into the world of the empowered job search. So last week, we interviewed a successful job seeker and learned really practical lessons on how to deal with a layoff, making a career change, and ageism in the job search. In this episode, I'm going to talk to Kyle about how the job search and the job market has changed recently, and we're going to learn some modern job search strategies. This is a really great episode. We're going to start by getting to know Kyle and learning about the difference between applying for a job through an agency and applying directly to a company. And then we'll get into how AI has changed the job search. Well, first, Kyle, thanks for joining. Do you mind, before we start, I want the audience to get a chance to know who you are. So can you talk about your role and what it is that you do and maybe a little bit of your career experience?
Yeah. So here at JobScan, I handle all of our internal recruiting. So basically any position that opens up, I, you know, try to take the lead in helping us hire for that role. Pretty straightforward work. This is my first internal corporate recruiting position. So started my career on the agency side of recruiting, which of course means you typically have a lot of different clients. You're filling lots of different jobs. It's very metric driven, very much a transactional environment. And did that for about 3 years. I enjoyed it, had a lot of success, but didn't really like the industry so much after a little while. Wanted a little more input in terms of the hiring process. So corporate recruiting always was a draw to me because you could just have a little more influence and kind of design the processes a little bit better, ideally. So been at it for about 6 years now. And yeah.
Okay. How do you, do you notice the hiring process or even interviewing, is that process different from being in the agency world compared to being a corporate recruiter?
In a lot of ways, yes. And interestingly enough, the agency side of things, I think I've noticed less selective in terms of, you know, just how stringent their interview processes were. Typically, because they were hiring contractors, people for short-term projects. So first of all, they needed somebody in those roles quickly because they are on a timeline themselves. If they're looking for someone 6 months, that means that whatever project they're working on also has a 6 month deadline. So they're willing to make a decision a little bit quicker in that scenario. On the corporate side, it's more selective, obviously, from what I've seen. It's companies a little more weary about making the right hire, especially when it's somebody full-time, mm-hmm. salaried. They have to do a whole bunch of training, onboarding, all that becomes expensive. So I've noticed on the corporate side is a lot more, if you're interviewing for a full-time direct hire position, it's a little more stringent of interview process.
Okay. And then, so do agencies typically only hire contractors or is that just the agency you worked for?
Not just contractors. The agencies will often work on direct hire positions for clients. If they are working on direct hire position, it's typically because that client or that company has really struggled to fill that position. It's quite a bit of money to just shell out to an agency to hire somebody. You know, it's upwards of 20%, even 30% of a first year salary. So companies will typically try to exhaust all of their, methods of filling that position before they'll turn to an agency. And for that reason, if you're pursuing a direct hire position through an agency, you're probably going to be evaluated a lot more, thoroughly by the hiring company because they have to pay a fee to this agency on the other end. So they're only going to pay that fee for a really good quality candidate, essentially.
Okay.
So not to deter anybody for pursuing those opportunities through an agency, but it is something I've seen before.
Is that okay? So then for job seekers, how do they know what method is being used? Like if I apply for a job on LinkedIn or Indeed, is that going like directly through a corporate recruiter or how would a job seeker know that?
Typically, if it's posted directly by a company, that will be directly with the company. You aren't going to deal with a staffing agency in between. From what I've seen, I mean, from my experience at the agency, we always posted our jobs under our agency name. So really just takes doing a little bit of research on your end when you apply to a job and taking a look and, you know, quick Google search. Is this company I'm applying to? Is this an agency? At least you know when you kind of what you're stepping into before you apply and, you know, what you can expect on that first call, which usually they'll reveal on that first call, like, hey, I'm part of an agency. We're hiring for this company. And that information will be revealed.
Okay. And then, so do agencies move faster? Like you were talking about how they would like look at it right away. So then do you have a chance of getting a call back faster if you apply for a job through an agency?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, agencies, they're very number driven, metric driven. Mm-hmm. They are basically required to talk to a lot of people. I mean, that is literally a metric that is used to measure the success or the activity of a recruiter and agency is how many people you're connecting with within a day. So you will probably hear back more often, more quickly from agencies, unfortunately, in some ways, because, you know, of course, everyone's looking for that direct hire opportunity. Typically don't want to work with agencies, you know, it's not always the most reliable method of finding a job. I think everybody knows that.
Interesting. Okay. So then you've been doing this for about 6 years. How have you seen things change from 6 years ago until now in terms of, well, we'll start with the job market. How have you seen the job market change?
Yeah. I'd say overall, it's just getting a lot more selective. Companies are a lot more wary about making a bad hire. And we're making the wrong hire. I want to say bad hire, but making the wrong hire. And with that comes a lot of the changes that we're seeing. So like the interview process, it's everyone is experienced the super long interview process, tons of interviews and a project and a case study. For the first couple of years of recruiting, I rarely had a candidate who had to complete some type of exercise or project or case study. And now it's like every position is doing that. And I think that all comes back to companies being wary about making the wrong hire. They think more rounds is going to give them more information about the candidates and allow them to make a better decision on whether they want to hire that candidate. And obviously has like a lot of sides to it that work against the process. You know, if you have a very long process, you're going to lose candidates in that time frame. So it's kind of a balance, but that's the biggest thing I think I've seen in the last couple of years.
Is the, what about like competition right now? Have you seen fewer jobs or more people applying?
Great point as well. Yes. In terms of when I would post a job, a few years ago, I would be lucky to get 20, 30 applicants. Only a few of those would even be qualified. And now it's thousands of applicants within a week and not enough time to even really give everyone a fair evaluation just because there's so many people looking for jobs. That is a huge change I've seen recently. It's just fewer jobs, a lot of applicants. And
I assume that would be because of the layoffs. So then there's more people unemployed, but also less companies hiring because they just did a layoff or they just don't need to hire anymore. And then you said like the interview process is longer. What about the process like for you as a recruiter in evaluating candidates? Has that changed?
In terms of what I do on the front end, not a lot has changed. And I also think people get a little bit of misconceptions thinking that these processes are designed by the recruiters when more often than not, we have no say in how many interviews are actually done. That's kind of told to us by the people make the hire decisions, stakeholders. Yeah. So they say they need this many interviews to evaluate candidates. More often than not, a recruiter isn't actually in control of that. Unfortunately, most of us do not want to shepherd someone through six rounds of interviews. And they don't want to do that with 10 other candidates too. That's a lot of just coordinating. And we prefer not to. But so a lot has not changed on the recruiting ends. The recruiters, they really don't do a whole lot of skill evaluation, maybe to a certain extent, because I mean, typically they're not experts in the areas that they're interviewing people on. So it's typically just the basic stuff of, hey, are you in the right country? Are you in the right compensation range? Are you coming with kind of the baseline experiences that we're looking for without getting into like the really nitty gritty of like your hard skills? Are you coming from the startup world, the tech world? Do you have experience with similar sized companies? That's things we've always done as recruiters and hasn't really changed that much. So I can't say a ton has changed for the actual recruiter and their process, but the interviewing process itself has extended because I see more evaluation happening from the hiring managers and decision makers.
Yeah. Okay. So I experienced that too. I remember my first few corporate jobs, it was like you had one interview and that was it. Like you either got the job or you didn't. But now it's, you have like my past few jobs I've gotten, I had like one, two, three, at least three interviews. And the people I interview with were like, I'm interviewing all the way up to the CEO. And it's just like, what's going on here? Like, how important is this role? But when you look at it from their point of view, like it is really important because they're hiring and it costs money to hire and all that.
And I think it, just to add on to that, I think it comes back to performance expectations as well for the hiring managers themselves. So if they're building out a team and the success of their team and what their team does, you know, adds on to basically their performance metrics, then they're also going to be way more selective about who they hire onto their team because they want that person to help them move the needle and kind of hit their performance metrics.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one thing I remember talking about in one of the sessions we did at our standout summit was some of these random questions, like, why do you want to work here? Or like, they seem sort of like, why is that important? But a lot of it is because the recruiter wants to know that you are really interested and really engaged because they don't want to waste their time on a candidate who's not really interested. And so some of the questions or the interviews that might not seem like they really have a purpose, like that's the purpose. Like you have a metric to meet of number of people to hire, or there's a timeline within you, within which you need to hire somebody. So it's all part of that. Have you seen how that long interview process helps? Like, has that led to good results? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes and no. I could say, honestly, here at JobScan, we do have a pretty lengthy interview process and it seems to have gone longer since I've been here. Unfortunately, I've been doing my best to try to fight it, but it's just how it's been working out. But when you look at who we've hired, we've had a lot of really successful hires in the last few years. And to a certain extent, it kind of does help, at least us. We do filter out a lot of, you know, candidates that wouldn't be a good fit. And we've been really, really good at dialing into some really good hires. But there has been opportunities where we've lost good candidates because our process just took too long. And that's the trade-off that companies need to start evaluating is what the trade-off here.
Yeah. And
I think there'll be a certain amount of, if that continues to get worse and candidates continue to just drop out of the process, then companies will be forced to have to change it. They'll have to change something because it'll just be like, we're losing too many candidates.
Do you have any tips for job seekers? Like there's not really anything they can do about the length, right? Like it is what it is, right?
So I would say the best you can do is really dial in on the first call with the recruiter of how many steps am I going to be expected to do? And, you know, just get it laid out. Most recruiters should be doing this. I have heard that many are not revealing that. And I think it's because they know that their process is not great. And they're trying to just kind of coax this candidate into the process by not really revealing anything, which I don't agree with. You should definitely, be forthcoming about everything with the candidates. But yeah, they do that with the interview process. They'll do that with the salary range. If they're not revealing that on the first call, then typically that's kind of a red flag and, might not be worth your time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then what about, like you talked about how you lose a candidate because they get an offer from another company. Would you advise candidates like don't hold out, like don't wait for an interview process to finish if you have an offer, or like, what would be your advice on that?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the side of the candidates here. I'm not a corporate schmooze, if you will. So I say, like, if you have another offer, take it. And I wouldn't even be afraid of accepting that tentatively and then finishing out your other interview processes. Okay. And I mean, everyone says, you know, oh, you don't burn bridges, don't accept an offer and then, you know, reject it because it might burn bridges. I don't really see that as, you know, being the reality in the business world. If you just explain that, hey, had a better offer come through, it's more interesting, more money. I'm sorry that I originally said I was going to accept yours, but I just have to take this other offer. Most humans understand you're going to look out for yourself in the end. And if they hold against you, then that's just not someone you want to be networked with in the professional world.
That's true. Do you suggest, if you do accept an offer tentatively and you're continuing to interview, do you suggest telling them you have an offer, or how should they handle that?
It's a great question. I don't think it's terrible to mention you have another offer. I know in our scenario, candidates have told us that they have an offer they're sitting on, and it's definitely made us like, hey, let's make the decision quickly. So either we can allow them to take that other offer, or we can give them one hopefully to compete with.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. I'd be weary of like using it in a way that you're holding over the process and like, hey, you have to hurry this up, or otherwise it's more like, yeah, it's the way you present it. It can definitely help. But if it's used as kind of like a threats kind of way, like quote, then typically companies won't respond too well to that. They'll just say, fine, take your other offer.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I went through one hiring process where I hadn't gotten an offer yet, but they were going to make an offer. And so I told other companies I was just waiting for the offer because it was like the same day.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm waiting for an offer. And I don't know if it helped, but I got offered a job. I actually got an offer from another company, and it was for more. The pay was more than I had originally asked for. So it might have helped. Yeah.
So absolutely.
And then, so going back to like changes in the hiring process, have you seen lately AI make any changes in that process?
So to a certain extent, yes. Mainly just on the evaluating side, I would say. So companies are using tools to, you know, evaluate resumes as they come in and kind of use AI to ideally tell them, you know, who the best candidate in their candidate pool is. We don't use that here at JobScan, so I can't speak a lot about the specifics, but it is a growing space. And I've talked to a few people, AI engineers, when we were hiring our more recent ML and AI engineer. I talked to a few people, and that's the project they worked on is those evaluating systems.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So then you don't have like a ton of experience with that, but do you know then for the job seeker, has anything changed as far as how they should write their resume or just like what their application should be like to account for that?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to optimizing the resume for the job description. The AI is still looking for those things. So I'm trying to think of the way to explain this. You're trying to set yourself apart from the other applicants, not necessarily create the perfect resume that the AI is going to like read and say, this is the perfect candidate. It's going to pull you out of the other candidates because you mention certain things or you, you know, certain things in your resume. If that makes sense.
So do you mean like, it's not looking at you in a vacuum. It is comparing you to everyone else who has applied.
Exactly. Okay.
So you need to like tailor your resume for the job. I mean, that's always best practice, but you also need to make sure that you do enough to stand out from the other candidates.
Right.
Okay. What all is involved in that? Like, what have you seen that makes someone stand out?
Typically, that's a great question. Candidates who explain their accomplishments really well in their resume are ones who get noticed. Because I mean, people want to hire candidates who are thinking about the business and have a business mindset. And if you can explain your accomplishments in of course, a business mindset in terms of revenue growth, in terms of cost savings, in terms of all these things are important to a business, that gets noticed a lot quicker because hiring managers, recruiters, they all, you know, look at that can and they say, okay, this person's thinking about the right things. They're not coming in day to day just to do a task. They are contributing to the business in a very specific way.
Okay. Does that apply to every role? Because I know, like, I'm in marketing, so I know, like, very easily how to connect my work to business goals. Like, is that across the board? Like, you could always do that, connect your achievements to business goals?
If you work for a business, yes, in some way you can. It might be a little indirect. I was helping my friend with his resume, and he's a bartender, mm-hmm. and he was just not getting a lot of responses, things like that. And I go through it, I'm like, all you've listed here are just kind of day-to-day tasks that you did. You're not listing out like what you did for the business. And I said, add in, you know, how much cash you collected each day, how much revenue we're bringing in. Start dialing into these specific things, even if, of course, it's not your business, but you are still the one serving the drinks. You're the one managing the till. So there is a way that you can connect your job and what you did day to day to the actual success of the business, and at least show that you know how it is you're contributing to the business.
Yeah. I guess even like, if because of your skills or something, you can work to a certain level of efficiency where you're able to serve X number of customers, or you increase that number and you pull a certain number of customers through the door every hour, like things like that contribute to overall revenue. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so speaking of AI, we talked about how it's changed the hiring process, but there's also a lot of concern about it changing just work in general. Have you seen that in changing jobs, like maybe what the qualifications are, or maybe even like eliminating jobs? Like, has that happened?
I don't think we've seen the actual effects of it yet, but I that is clearly a direction we're going. In terms of certain jobs will be less relevant in terms of how they exist now, in terms of certain jobs and what you do day to day will be different because new tools will come out. And I want to, so I'm thinking of like customer service, customer service at big companies. Of course, that's something that's been really easily automated these days. Typically you're just talking to robots, mm-hmm. But there is some skill still at the other end, within setting up that customer service environment, that's still needed, if that makes sense. So okay. jobs will somewhat be eliminated, but I think they'll just change in a lot of ways. And it's just staying on top of those changes and okay. I guess kind of changing with the AI, if that makes sense. Trying to stay on top of it.
Okay. So then it's more just like learning how to use AI in your job. Those are more of the skills that you're looking for. Anything concrete, like any concrete examples there of roles that you've been recruiting for and you've noticed like, oh, that's a new skill that I haven't seen before.
Not a ton yet. Okay. I think it's growing a lot more, especially with like software engineers. They're looking for more software engineers to implement these new large language model solutions. And on that side of things are changing, but I still think we're a few years away before we start seeing like you need experience with this specific AI tool. And it'll happen soon. I mean, that's kind of how the tech world is. Once a technology becomes popular and starts being used in a few years, you need to have that experience with that tool.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like every job is a technology job now, pretty much.
Yeah, really. It seems that way.
Yeah. So then I guess there's not maybe yet like concrete, like you need to learn how to use this piece of software or this tool. It's just like staying on top of the trends, I guess.
You can't really say like a specific tool to learn yet because I think we're kind of competing right now to become which is going to be that tool.
Yeah. Okay.
At some point, there's going to be some AI tool in marketing that you'll have to, I'm sure you'll have to learn and master. I mean, there's a lot out there right now, but they're all kind of vying for that.
Yeah. Dominance. Okay. Is that so? Then have you seen this like I guess general awareness of AI or like being able to use it, is that starting to play a very strong role in hiring, or is it more just something that people are aware of?
I don't think it's playing a super strong role yet. Okay. It's people are coming becoming more aware of it. Bigger tech companies, more on the technological edge companies, who are very forward thinking. They're definitely going to be implementing it, but we have so many organizations and companies out there that are running on Windows XP still. There's no way they're going to be able to implement any kind of AI. That's
okay.
I think people, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there about how these jobs are going to get taken, but there's so much technical debt within so many companies out there that they can't even begin to broach the topic of using AI in any of their work.
Okay. Interesting. So then it sounds like job seekers don't really need to worry about that yet, of it either taking their job or I need to put this thing on my resume. It's not, we're not there yet.
Not quite. I think more task-based jobs, a little bit of concern there. If you have a really kind of menial task that you kind of carry out within your job, that's, yeah, definitely has some risk of being automated. But a lot of the more skilled professions, I think, are going to be at least safe for a little while. And it's kind of like, you know, email didn't get rid of, you know, tons of jobs. I think a lot of people were concerned about the computer was going to take jobs way back when, but all it did was create way more jobs, which I see being the eventuality with AI is it just leads to way more positions out there. So you'll be able to kind of pivot. And even if your job is taken by AI, you can go do something that contributes to working for that company that, you know,
Okay. All right. So it sounds like then it's more like in terms of AI, it's more just how it influences the hiring process. And even that is still, is that still early on or is it?
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
It's, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not every position you're applying to, you're being evaluated by AI. That's not the case at all. Maybe if you're applying to the bigger companies out there, they might be trying some of those tools, but most run-of-the-mill companies, not quite that level yet.
Okay. So then, so, you know, speaking of that, is there a major difference between applying for a job at a really big company compared to a small company or even medium-sized? Like, what are the differences?
That's a great question. And I haven't personally worked for any super large companies. I've had Microsoft and Amazon as clients before in the past in the staffing world. I would say smaller companies can be a little more selective, a lot more selective, and their processes aren't necessarily as defined in terms of like the decision-making process. In many cases, they kind of don't know what they're looking for. Sometimes they know they need to hire this specific role for this specific task, but they don't quite know what background is going to be able to, you know, fill that role and be successful in it. And it kind of takes conversations with candidates for them to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then with a larger company, it's maybe they just have like a more defined process.
Yes.
Okay. So then would you say there's a major difference in how, like if I apply for a job at Amazon compared to my local, like, I don't know, auto shop, is there a difference in my resume or how I approach that application, or should there be a difference there?
None. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, there really shouldn't be a difference. You should obviously automate and, you know, make your resume as close of a match for that job as you can. But obviously the demands are going to be a lot higher at the, you know, Microsoft and Amazon rather than the smaller companies.
Like more competition. Okay. I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So can you, let's say for the job seeker that's using AI for themselves, can you tell when a resume is written by like ChatGPT? Like if it's just like fully, you're like, this whole thing was written by ChatGPT. Like, can you tell?
To a certain extent, yes. Because ChatGPT still, it still doesn't quite know how to make like the ideal resume. It still doesn't know how to like list your accomplishments in a way that's explainable. It still does that thing where it'll list kind of more just tasks you know, this is my responsibility for like a day-to-day responsibility that I did, which is not really what, you know, we're looking for on a resume. So yeah, I think I can tell pretty quickly. I don't know how other people could tell, but personally, I think I noticed right away.
There's just like, there's just a certain way that it reads, like a certain way that it sounds. You could, and I've tried, like I've tried the AI detector tools and they're very inconsistent, like across the board. But I feel like people are a better AI detector than an AI.
I think so.
And one thing I think, because it's like ChatGPT doesn't know you, and it also, it like, you can prompt it to ask you questions, but it might not know which questions to ask or all the questions to ask. It's just, it takes a while for it to really get to know you. So one thing that, like shameless plug that I like about JobScan's implementation of AI is that it doesn't completely take over. It still, it recognizes that you know yourself better than an AI does. So it still operates as like, as a tool or an aid. Do you think like currently that's probably the most, like the best way that job seekers can use AI?
Yeah, I was going to say sparingly, not don't let it run everything, but use it for little parts and pieces of, I guess, your search, whatever part of the search you're in. If you're writing your resume, if you're optimizing it for a new job, if you're making a cover letter, if you're even just practicing, you know, what I would do is I would practice thinking of interview questions I could, you know, could expect an interview, and practicing what my answer would be. And ChatGPT can be a great tool for just, hey, what are some common questions for my field that I could expect an interview? And then you can use those to kind of practice what your response would be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like one thing I tell people about the AI generation features in JobScan. So like it'll generate bullet points for you based on skills that you need to include in your resume. I often tell people to use that as inspiration or as like a good example of a really good resume bullet point, because again, it doesn't know you. So it doesn't know exactly how you used that skill or your achievements in using that skill. So sometimes a statement, you'll be like, well, that like, yes, it generated a statement, but I didn't do that at all. But it's more like it shows you like best case scenario or like the best example of how you could talk about this. And I think in that sense, it's like a good tool for that. Yeah.
Completely agree.
Okay. Well, lots of really great information in here. Kyle, thanks again for being available. People can connect with you on LinkedIn if they want to and see which jobs you're currently hiring for. But thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you.
Kyle is always such a great person to interview. I've interviewed him a couple of times for articles on the JobScan blog, and he has a lot of knowledge and experience to share, and just really easy to have a conversation with him. So if you enjoyed this episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. If you want Kyle back on the show, let me know in your review. Just tell me which guest you want back on. And you can even leave a question in your review and I'll use it in a future episode. But thanks for listening to this episode and I'll see you next time. Bye.